Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another golden opportunity he has given for us to come together in the Word of God today. Glory be to God. Wherever you're listening to me at, as we await for my brother, Brother Robert Gross, to come on, why don't you join in with me in prayer? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the word of the Lord today. We thank you for the golden opportunity you've given us to share your word once again. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless us as we give your word to rightly divide your word and give it unto your people. In Jesus' almighty name. And bless the listeners, Lord God. Bless those that listen as we give your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, because you're worthy to be praised and to be glorified. So, Lord, we lift you up. We magnify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. We thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. In Jesus' name, glory to the Most High God. Glory to the Most High God. Today, we are dealing with part one of the sign of the restoration and restitution. We have been talking to you about the work of the Lord in these last days, referred to as the restitution of all things and the restoring of all things. Amen. And on our last segment, we was talking to you about what the Word of God says and when this sign of the restitution and restoration is going to be. Okay, and we showed you that it is going to be in the latter days or the last days, which is the time that we're living in today. Glory be to God. And so now we are in another segment, and it is titled The Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. So what is the sign that God has given concerning this restoration and restitution that it has begun or is in operation? Or is there any sign, let's put it that way, that God has given? We know from the Word of God it is to come to pass, it is to be done in this time that we're living in. Glory be to God. I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Blessing the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day and another opportunity you've given us to come together in the Word of God today, brother, and to also continue to give that devil all kinds of pains and aches from the Word that's being given. Glory to God. I just thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are on a new part of the series, as I was sharing with the listeners, called The Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. And I'm going to start off laying down some groundwork. And for those of you listening, my brother, he's going to actually talk to you about that sign, dealing with a book. Now, I want to say, before I go any further, and I've said this before on other broadcasts. Now, as we go into this, this is what we ask of you. Just hear us out and the scriptures we give and take it to the Lord. One other thing we're not trying to say. We're not trying to say the Bible doesn't have the Word of God. I want to make that clear. Because when you're presenting something to people from the Word of God that the Bible itself talks about, sometimes people jump to the wrong conclusion without fully hearing the thing out. And so, therefore, I say this before we go any further tonight, because there's some of you, what you're going to hear, you're going to say, oh, now they just, oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, no. That's it. They just gone off the plane. You know, they just, they further past left field now. They just out of the ballpark on this stuff, you know. So, having said that, we're going to go into the night, and I'm going to lay some groundwork here, and then my brother's going to come behind me. Now, the sign of the restoration and restitution, or is there a sign that God has given? Now, first of all, I want to start off defining what a sign mean. And a sign mean is a signal, okay? And also, the word sign has more than one Hebrew word, and I want to give you the definition of one of the Hebrew words because this is what we're going to be looking at. One of the Hebrew words for sign, which is either pronounced nace or nas, N-A-C-E, and that Hebrew word means a flag, also a sail, by implicating a flagstaff, generally a signal, figuratively a token, okay? Now, we want to keep that in mind, okay? Now, the Word of God shows us that God will give signs to witness to something or some kind of event involving him or what he would do. Okay? I hope you're still with me. But before I go any further on that, I want to also say this. That as I lay down the groundwork and show you that God does give signs for particular events or things that he's going to do. However, I do not want you to get this confused with just that you got to have signs all the time before you believe God. Hallelujah. Because remember, we're told in Romans chapter 8 that as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Okay? And so we don't want you to get this confused and say, oh, okay, so they show me that God would give signs before you do something. That means that for me to believe God, I always got to have a sign first all the time. No, not necessarily. Okay? Because if you got to see a sign first all the time before you believe, you wouldn't be walking by faith. Okay? But there are particular events that God tells you that there will be signs to go to it. Okay? So he will give some signs. Okay? But signs is not to motivate our whole Christian walk. Do you get what I'm saying? Because if it motivated our whole Christian walk, if you were sick and the Spirit of the Lord said, I have healed you, then you would have to say, Lord, you got to give me a sign first. And see, if you require that, then you wouldn't be going by faith. Hallelujah. Because faith, the God kind of faith, takes God at his word. Okay? Just like the Bible tells us that Abraham, when God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you with a son. What did Paul tell us in Galatians? I think that's Galatians 3. That it was counted unto Abraham for righteousness by what? By him what? Believing. Okay?
Amen.
He simply believed what God said. He didn't say, oh, wait a minute, God. You better give me a sign first that I'm going to have it. Because, you know, my wife barren. Okay? He didn't ask that. He simply believed God. You understand what I'm saying? So I wanted to make that clear before I show you what I'm going to show you in laying this groundwork. Now, as I said before, however, God will give some signs, especially on particular things or events or things that he's going to do, okay? He will do that. Now, I want to give you some examples of that, okay? Let's look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Glory be to God. John chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 17 to verse 21 in John chapter 2, okay? And this is what says in John chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 21. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house have eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign, okay, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and would thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of what? Of his body. Okay? Now, for that particular thing right there, Christ said, okay, here's your sign. Destroy this temple, my body, and I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. That's going to be your sign. Okay, hallelujah, of the things that you said you was going to do. So God gave him, Jesus gave him that sign, okay? And that sign was a signal, was supposed to be a signal to them about what the things he said he was going to do. Because remember, they asked for a sign, okay? Hallelujah. And we know that this was to a very special event. Because if Christ had not risen, what did Paul tell us in Corinthians? Our preaching is what? In vain. Okay?
That's right.
It's in vain. If he had not risen, okay? So we know this was what he was speaking on here was a very important event. Okay? Very important. But he said, hey, I'm going to give you this sign. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay?
Amen.
Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Look what Jesus, now remember we know in most of your Bibles, when it's written in red, they're saying Jesus directly said this. Now look what he says in verse 25. He said, and there shall be what? Signs. In what? In the sun. And in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Do we see that? See, he said there are going to be signs. Okay. Hallelujah. In the what? In the sun, in the moon. What? They signal something. They indicate something. Okay. You will understand it. So that God will give a sign, especially of a particular event that something he's going to do, he will give signs on that, okay? But once again, I want to stress on this. This is not to say signs is supposed to motivate our whole Christian walk. I want to stress that. Because if signs motivate our whole Christian walk, then every time God would have said something in the scripture in the Bible, he would have to give a sign all the time. Do we understand that? But we know on some particular things, he gave a sign. And we see it here in the end time, he said there are going to be signs in the what? In the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? So God will give a sign especially to a particular event or a particular thing that he's going to do. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 26. The book of Numbers, chapter 26. And we're going to look, I believe it's going to be verse 10. The book of Numbers, chapter 26, verse 10. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The book of Numbers, chapter 26, verse 10. Now, look what this 10th verse says. I'm going to start at verse 9. It said, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, this is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became what? A sign. Now, this word sign, and I'll give you that in a minute, but here, these men became a sign, a signal for what? A sign of what? An indication of what? That when you rise up against the authority of God, look what happens. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They became a sign. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, keep in mind this word sign in this 10th verse here. Okay? I want you to keep in mind this word sign. Let's go now to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. The book of Isaiah chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. And now that brings us to this sign of the restoration and restitution. I've already shown you in scripture that God will give a sign of something that he would do, especially of a particular event or something like that, that is going to happen or he's going to do in that. He will give a sign at times. He will give a sign. And he let us see in the scriptures. There are other scriptures, but I limited to that just to give you an overall view. Now, this sign of a restoration and restitution. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to look at 11 and 12. And look what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day, okay, talking about in the last days, in the end time, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, okay, to do what? To recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now, he's going to set his hand again the second time. We ain't talking about the first time where he delivered them out of Babylonian's captivity. But here, a second time, okay, according to verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from what? The four corners of the earth. And this is talking about in the last days. Now, remember, we talked to you in the last segment and show you from the word of God where the restitution and restoration is to be done when? In the last days, right? In this time we're living in. So here, according to the word of God, God said he would set up an ensign. Now, here's the interesting thing about the word ensign. Remember when we came from Numbers chapter 26, verse 10? And it talks about the 250 men that were destroyed, and they was for a what? A sign. Where the word sign in Numbers chapter 26, verse 10, and the word ensign here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, has the same Hebrew meaning. They're the same Hebrew word. So here when it says ensign here, we can say a sign. Okay? Hallelujah. He would set it up. Who set it up? God set it up. Okay? And it's a sign of the work of the restoration and restitution that God would do in this end time. Now, my brother's going to come to you about that sign, okay? What is that sign? He's going to come to you about that sign, and this sign is to let you know the work has begun. So keep that in mind. And I say this with all humility, because we're not coming on the broadcast claiming that we know everything, okay? We're not doing that. We're just giving you what God has us to give you, okay? Now, you can take that and go to the Lord with it, okay? We have not told anybody that you better believe it just because we said it. None of that, okay? We ain't doing that. But we want you to understand, because like I told you all, if you were listening yesterday, who all listened to the broadcast, there are many today among believers who actually think God is not doing anything. Amen. And I know some of them may not, quote, shamefully come out and admit it. You say, well, why is that? Because for the simple thing, the reason why I said it, because they are seeing so much sin, so much ungodliness, so much evil. And it looks like those that's doing it, it just having their way. And then to top it off, they see so many fights with the churches. They see so much division with people who claim to be of God, that now by focusing on that, they're thinking God is not doing nothing. And I'm here to tell you, that can happen to any of us, okay? I know many times God had to deal with me on some things because I was looking at the things for so long that I asked, like, okay, Lord, what you doing? How many of y'all had asked God that question? Well, you know I can't see you, for you to raise your hand. And some of you might not want to admit it, but I raise my hand and I say, hey, I've been guilty of it many times. Many times I've looked and I said, Lord, what you doing? You know. But see, God have us to give you this word to let you know he is doing something this time. No matter how many wars you're hearing about going on and seeing, okay? Because see, one thing about the news, they might not show you too much of Christians getting beaten and killed, but they'll show you about some war going on with the other countries, and especially if it involved the U.S. So we don't mind having no news reporters go over there and risking their lives to be in the middle of the fire to send you pictures of fighting. Amen. The news coverage, listen, America has become so lifted in pride, we get to a point we want to show you pictures that we fight the enemy. We want to show it to you. We don't want to just talk to you about it. We want to show you these pictures. And see, what they don't understand, and many times don't care, that some people is becoming grieved from just looking at these pictures. You know, everybody's not out for you just fighting, fighting, fighting all the time. Amen? Some people, that actually bothers them. To hear, you know, if you listen to many people in these last days, and they say, oh, man, we're going to have another war. Oh, man, it's going to be some more fighting. And whether you believe it or not, more people are becoming concerned for the U.S. And you say, well, why is that? Because some of the countries that used to be afraid of her is not backing down from her now. They're standing up and say, hey, you coming out no-fly zone, we're going to shoot you down. And you will look at it and say, man, that's a little country talking noise like that. But they are. Because remember, go back to Israel. Whenever God was with Israel, their enemies were so afraid of them. They said, hey, now we ain't fighting them. Why? They God is with them. But when they have fallen away from God, their enemies weren't scared of them. Okay? And so this is the thing that's happening with America. She's not portraying Christianity and the true belief in Christ Jesus. She's portraying whatever anybody wants to be. So if you want to be a sorcerer or a witch, come on over here. Practice your witchcraft, okay? Get you a couple of pigs and slang them and spread some blood out. Kill you some chickens and spread the blood. Come and do all that, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so now these nations sense, and they can look and see that America is not at the place where she used to be. So they going, America looking like us now. Shoot, I ain't scared of America no more. Amen. Hallelujah. And in the midst of all this, Jesus said wars and rumors of wars. That ain't just fighting between countries. That's part of it because we see in the Word of God, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But it's wars and rumors between churches. Amen. I mean, many churches are getting so much, man, they slanging mud at each other hard. Okay? I mean real hard. Because why? There's a battle to try to be what? Number one. And you got so many churches saying, we're the ones. No, we're the ones. We're the ones. Everybody seem to be the ones. Okay? Yeah, we're the ones. And we're going to, and you have these battles. Okay? Amen.
Thank
and
you,
so
Jesus.
God said, no matter what you see going on, you got false prophets that Jesus said in Matthew. False prophets and false Christ have rose up. Have deceived many. Okay? Received many. That guy down there in Waco, Texas, he told away. He was God. Jim Jones told people what? He was God. And got a bunch of people following him. And look how many died.
Amen.
And so if you're not being strong in the word, that would dishearten you to see all this stuff happening that people and man can easily rise up and say, hey, I'm Jesus. And people just poop, flock to him. So you start going, man, Lord, is you doing anything? You know, is there anything? You got people, they're now grieving the churches that they're in. Because what? Now the standard of the Lord has been pushed outside the door. And they seeing so much sin and chaos. I'm talking about the true believers now. We ain't talking about just anyone. We're talking about the true believers. The ones who are trying to walk after the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his standard. They're starting to see in the churches that they're in, they're going, oh, Lord, this is ungodly. Then they going to some of their pastors and talking about it, and the pastor's okay in it. He justified it. I hope y'all see what I'm saying. And this is why God is sending this message to let you know I am doing the work.
Amen.
I'm doing the work. I'm doing the work of restoring and restitution. Because some Amen. Have been studying the scripture and say, hey, Lord, man, Jesus, that church that you set up, man, they had so much power. And I look at us today, we look like wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Is you, Lord, is you doing anything? Yep. And the Lord lets you know, say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We man, my God. Man, you know, if we actually look at the book of Acts Church, I can see why we would slam the book closed real fast. You know why? Because we would be embarrassed. Amen. We would be embarrassed. Because we'll look and say, man, you know, when you look at the Herman and White team, it wasn't too tolerating that line. But you look at today, lying is just tolerated all in the church. I mean, everything. We lying and giving sacrament. Okay? We're doing it all. And the power of God is not flowing like it needs to. And we have become in a comfortable state with it being like that. But see, there's some true believers that said, nah, Lord, this ain't enough. This ain't enough. We got to have a restoration. See, and I'm going to end it with this as I turn over to the hand of my brother. See, when people now among the church hear the word restoration, you know what most of them think about? Restored of a car or a house that was taken from you, some money, stuff like that. They're not, a lot of them is not thinking about the restoring of spiritual things. They're not thinking about that, okay? So
Amen.
When you hear a lot of, quote, prophets coming on TV say, the Lord's going to restore to you what the enemy has taken. And you hear that person go, wow, wow, and they jumping out, falling on the ground. Most of them, I ain't going to say all of them, but most of them, know why they jumping and falling out? They ain't just jumping and falling out because they happy to hear that word. They thinking about, oh, that coat I lost, I'm going to get it back. Oh, that brand new Trans Am, my God, I'm going to get it back. Because why? The mind is on the things of the earth. That's what it's on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the mind is not there on the things that are spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. And now I'm going to turn it over to the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would admonish everyone that's listening to this blog talk today to really, before I even get into anything, I got to admonish you to really turn your mind to Christ. Don't turn your mind to my words, okay? Don't turn your mind yourself. Don't turn your mind to the world, but turn your mind to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Remember what we told you, that Jesus Christ is the one that has all the answers, okay? That the Holy Ghost has, the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of truth, will lead you, guide you, direct you, Lord, unto all truth, okay? This is so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is where we're coming from, okay? Now, I got to lay some groundwork, okay?
Amen.
Yep, you don't mind me laying some groundwork here. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you something in Amos, okay? Amos, the third chapter. Start at the first verse. I'm going to just start the reading here, okay?
Amen.
It's the first verse. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. Can two walk together except they agree? The Lord is saying that because you and him, you are walking in a different way than God is walking, okay? We are walking in a different path than the Lord is walking, okay? Can two walk together except they agreed, okay? Fourth verse. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord has not done it?
No.
Thank you, Jesus. Surely the Lord, this is the seventh verse, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, many, I have to lay this groundwork for you, okay? Because many of us, we are acting as if the Bible, hallelujah, God has nothing more to say than that's written in the Bible, okay? Thank you, Jesus. That we have to remember that the Bible is just an abridgment of God's word, okay?
Amen.
And it's not even an abridgment of all the things that happened to the people of Israel, okay? It's not a whole law. It's not a whole word, okay? It's a whole law, but it's not a whole. It's not everything's not included in there, okay? We think that everything's included, but it's an abridgment, okay? That means that it's missing things, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And it is perfect. The word is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God is perfect in all its forms, okay, because it has the power to bring people to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. That's the power of God's word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For this generation, For this generation, God knew that he would have to do more, okay, for us, okay? He would have to reveal more, okay? Now, we don't like when things change. People don't like change. Glory to the
Amen.
Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. What am I talking about when people don't like change? Well, when Jesus Christ was first born, okay, when he first came, okay, and he sent the angels. Angels came before him, okay, and they said, "Oh, this," and they appeared to the shepherds in the fields, okay, as they was keeping watch over their flocks, okay. Jesus Christ revealed to those people that good news, the good news is here, okay. Thank you, Jesus,
yeah.
Of salvation. The good news is here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this sign that God, that Jesus Christ had given, okay, that God had given, okay, hallelujah, it appeared as a star in heaven, right? Star appeared,
Amen.
Right? Called, and these three wise men that we speak of, I mean, that we read about in the scriptures, okay, these three wise men came from the east, right? And
Amen.
They followed the star. They followed this star. But the very people of God, how come they didn't see that star?
Amen.
How come they didn't see that star?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, okay? Thank you, Jesus. When God reveals something, when God reveals something to a person to give to another person, and he says, I want you to tell them this, right? For instance,
Amen.
If God tells a person, go tell Henry he's going to die, right?
Amen.
Go tell Henry he's about to die, and he has a few days, he's going to die. And I'm talking about the real word of God. I ain't talking about what you just thought up. I'm talking about the real word of God. And the word of God came to a man. He says, tell Henry that he's going to die. And so you go tell Henry he's going to die in a few days and to prepare himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, that person that you told that to has to believe the thing that you told them in order for them to be saved, okay? Because God don't reveal prophecy just for revealing it, okay? He reveals prophecy, or he tells a person something so that maybe they can get out of it. They won't die if they will respond, okay?
Amen.
If they turn faces to God, maybe they won't die. Maybe if they repent, they won't die. Thank you, Jesus. Why is this so important that you believe God? When God sends the word to you, he ain't sending you no sign sometimes, okay? You want a sign.
Amen. Yeah.
Show me, prove to me that's real. I ain't got to prove to you nothing that's real. If it's of God, and you believe it, it's gonna bear itself out anyway, okay? Or it's gonna show it.
Amen.
It's gonna bear itself out. It's gonna witness to itself, okay? I don't have to show you anything. All I do is tell you what God told me, right? God told
Amen.
Me when God sent the prophets, and he told the prophets to go tell Israel what he's about to do. I'm gonna destroy you if you don't stop doing this. I'm gonna destroy you if you don't stop doing that.
Amen.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't care. I don't believe it. Well, you can respond that way if you want to. Okay? You can say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe you're no prophet. Well, the real prophets of God, they don't speak smooth words, okay?
Amen.
The real prophets of God do not speak words that appeal to you. there'll be something that goes completely against you and against your flesh. You're going to make your hair stand up on your head when the real prophet speaks, okay? Because what he says to you, it's not going to be something smooth. He's not going to tell you, oh, thus said the Lord, Henry, today you're going to receive a brand new Cadillac. You're going to receive a brand new car. Oh, Henry, I'm going to pour out on you all this money, all this cash.
Amen.
Yes. And all your children going to be happy. Thank you. But when the word of God comes, the real word of God that comes in the spirit of truth, it always comes against your flesh. That's how you know that's one way you know how it comes from God, because it's abrasive against your flesh, and your flesh is going to be the first one that reacts against it. I don't believe that God's word. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't believe it because you already got your way set up that you want to believe. Or you got things set up in your mind. You got traditions set up in your mind. You got your cultural ways you got set up, okay? Or you got things that you heard that you believe, okay? And that's what you go by. Hardly ever do when we hear something in history, do we go and say, God, did that really happen? Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
How many people really does that? How many people really go to God and say, hey, God, did that brother really do that? Did that brother do that? But people accept it because somebody said it, okay?
Amen.
And they don't know the whole, sometimes they know part of the truth, okay, but they don't be knowing the whole truth. A lot of people don't know the whole truth of things that been happening, okay? All they know is what they heard, okay? That's the whole truth. That's the gospel truth. That's why people accept any news that people give them, okay, in these days and time, okay? But you can't believe anything somebody tell you, okay, because the world is saying that the Catholic Church is God's church.
Amen.
But you accept that, don't you? Let me tell you, you accept that the Pope is the leader of the whole world, over all Christendom. Then that's not even biblical. That's not even biblically correct. Okay, that God would set one man over His church. Huh?
Amen.
Does that sound biblical to you?
No way.
All the apostles of old was wiped out, right? Because they stood for the word of God. But this one man going to stand up and say, I'm the leader of all these 1.2 billion Catholic. And see, when it's talking about 1.1 billion, those not Christians. Those are Catholics, okay? The 1.2 billion is not, they're not all Christians, okay? They mostly just Roman Catholics, okay? Now,
Amen.
We're talking about outside of the Roman Catholic Church, okay? But we accept the Pope as the head, the vicar of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We accept it. We call him, he's the Holy See. He's the man of God. He's the Bishop of Rome. Oh, he's a Holy of Holies. We accept that.
Amen.
And we bank on it, okay? And this man don't have to give us any kind of proof at all that he is the vicar of Christ. Huh?
Amen.
What proof did he give us that he's the vicar of Christ? Did he raise anybody from the dead? Huh? Did he even walk? Did he walk? Did he walk across the sea? Did he walk across the waters? Did we see him strolling across the waters? Huh? Did we?
Nope.
Did we see him miraculously healing people? Did we?
Nope.
But we've seen a succession of men that die like other men die. That die like, and these succession of men call themselves the Pope. But we
Amen.
Believe in that man, even though the Catholic Church has been found in what? All type of sin, abominations, hallelujah, all type of idolatry, all type of child molestations, okay? But we still believe.
Amen.
Don't we believe? And he don't have to give us no sign. That's the Mother Church.
Amen.
That's the Mother Church.
Amen.
And we hold it like it's the gospel. Like it's
Amen.
Written in the Bible. Like it's written there that, yes, the Roman Catholic Church is the Church of Christ. Like it's written there.
Amen.
And that church don't have to give you no sign, right? All you have to do is just say we are the Mother Church. You came from us. Come back to us.
Amen.
Thank you, G. I'll tell you about this the other day, okay, about how they signing contracts. These churches are signing a contract with the Catholic Church saying that the protest is over. The protest that the 95th thesis of Lutheran is over, okay? His protest is over. But we believe that,
wow.
don't we? We take it like it's gospel. But if some real truth come to us, real truth, some real truth that will actually save us from the things of this world, if some real truth come, we have a hard time swallowing that little bit of truth, right? But we can swallow those lies that the devil tell hook, line, and sinker, can't we? We swallow them, mm-hmm. swallow them things whole. I mean, it's like swallowing the car. Could you imagine yourself swallowing the car? Well, that's what those lines are so big, they're bigger than the car, okay? But you swallow them. I believe that's the only true church. That's the only true church. Gave you no kind of sign. They ain't gave you no kind of, and we believe it. Okay?
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ has given you all kind of signs, okay, that the thing that he said was going to come to pass. Now, things are written in the Word, okay, and the things that we're going to be telling you and going to be showing you is written in the Word, okay?
Amen.
I'd like to go to James. Let's go
Amen.
To James. Chapter. We have to lay this ground down to you, okay? Because we don't want to. Because if we just tell you what we want to tell you, just like that, you turn away.
Amen. Amen.
Away, you say, "Oh, I don't want to hear that garbage. That's a bunch of garbage." No. I know about that one. That one is evil. But you think you know everything? You don't be knowing everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The fourth chapter of James, starting at the first verse, and I'm going to read it for you, okay? From whence come wars and fighting? Where do wars and fighting come from, okay, among you? Who's asking this question? Is this Brother Paul asking this question?
Oh, no.
I think it is Brother Paul asking this question, okay?
Okay.
Is it Brother James asking this question? Thank you, Jesus.
James.
Yeah. James, okay, yeah. Okay, it's Brother James. Says, but see, these scriptures right here, you know, James is one of the books that they say is not a real scripture, okay? They don't believe it's real. They don't believe it's real scripture. The Catholic Church don't believe it's real scripture.
Wow.
You know that? You didn't know that, did you? From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Thank you, Jesus. He's talking about James is talking about the flesh. That's where wars come. That's why people war amongst themselves, okay? In these churches, that's where divisions come from, okay? The divisions come from their being too fleshly, too carnal, too worldly, too ungodly, too devilish, too demonic. Thank you, Jesus. Not moving away from the flesh, but abiding in that flesh, and that's where all that lust and that junk come from. That's where contentions come from. It comes from yourselves. And it don't come from the devil first, because the devil can only just talk to you and move you to do things. But you're the one that carry these things out. You are the one that have to actually do the things that the devil wants you to do. Thank you, Jesus. For instance, if the devil says, you know that brother, that brother of yours, don't you hate his guts? Yes, I hate his guts. Who's carrying it out? You carrying it out. You agreeing with the devil. You saying, yes, I hate him. I hate his guts. Wouldn't you like to kill him? I sure would. If I could get my hands around his neck, if I could get away with it, I'd kill him. That's you. That's the church. That's the kind of mind that the church has, okay? The people of God, they're supposed to have, they're supposed to come away from that kind of mind. Why?
Amen.
Because that is the kind of mind that Christ gave, is working on you, okay? Hallelujah. That is the kind of mind that Jesus Christ is giving you. He wants you to come away from the flesh, the things of the flesh, okay, and away from the power of the flesh and the mind of the flesh. That's why he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what they say in Philippians? Huh?
Amen.
This mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm laying all this down for you for a reason, okay? I hope you have patience with me, okay? Thank you, Jesus. He lust and he have not. He kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. He fight and war, yet ye have not because he ask not. This is the way the church is. You see, if you look at YouTube, how many of the churches do you see fighting against one another? How many brothers do you see actually going way out? They got a whole ministry built upon just beating up one another, or beating up another brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They got a ministry where this brother, he's going to hell. He's going to hell. Or you got one brother where he thinks, where I know one man, he talks about homosexuals should be shot. And if he had a button, if he could press this button and kill a homosexual every time he pressed that button, he'd do it. They ain't the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, I came to save. That's what Jesus Christ came to save. But the same word that saves you, it'd be the same word that divides you, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So when we bring the word of God to you, it's either gonna gather you or it's gonna divide you.
Amen.
Because that's the nature of God's word, because it's like a sword, okay? So if you say, for instance, I don't believe that's God's word, well, what do God say? Will the word of God be made non-effect because you don't believe? No, the word of God will not be made non-effect because you don't believe. What's going to happen if you say you don't believe? Well, that means that you lose something. That means that you gain a certain blindness, okay? That means that you are become blind, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And let me get back to this. Thank you, Jesus. We We ask and we receive not because we ask amiss that it may consume, that ye may consume it upon your lust, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we ask God for something, we ask God for something that because we want something. We may want a house, we want a car, okay, something like that, okay, something that says, oh, man, that's fun. That's I won the lottery. Would God be in the lottery business? Is God in the lottery business? Would God
no.
be working through the lottery? Huh? Do you think God be working through the lottery? Do you think God be working through gambling? Do you think you can go gamble and then say, oh, God blessed me? Huh?
No.
You can't do that, can you? Because that ain't a God, right? That ain't in his character. God don't work in crooked
Amen.
Manners, does he? Right?
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
He's holy. He's not crooked. That's you that's crooked. So you try to find all kind of ways, okay? And then when I tell you to ask God, the same God, for knowledge, and I tell you to ask God, did he tell you this? Is this in his word or is this true? You'll say, I don't care nothing about that. I don't care enough to ask God about that. Okay? But if you really cared about that, what would you do? You would go fast. You would go fast. You go ask God, I'm really troubled about this thing. I really want to know if it's really true, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, and I'm turning my mind to you. I'm turning my desire to you. I'm turning my whole being to you because I really want to know whether this thing is of you or not of you. So
Amen.
You go to God and you sincerely seek him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you ask him, Lord, is this your word? Is this true? Thank you, Jesus. And God don't answer you the first time you ask him, okay? And God don't answer you the second time. And God don't answer you the third time. But God stretches you out. And he says, now will I try you and see if you really want this to know, to see. If you really want this truth, will you continue to seek? And you said, no, I ain't going to. I tried two or three times. I ain't asking no more. And you think that's sufficient, right? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Fourth verse says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You mean you can't be a friend? You can't have friendship with the world, and be a friend of God at the same time? No. You know why? Because the devil is the one that's trying to get you to lean over that fence. The devil is trying to get you to get in the middle of the fence and try to straddle the fence and say, I can have both worlds. Ain't that what the devil says? You can have both
Amen.
Worlds. I once read about a man that was he thought he could straddle the fence, and this man thought he could actually be a Baptist and an Islam at the same time. He thought he could believe in Allah and believe in Jesus at the same time. Do you see any conflict of interest there? Do you?
Very much.
Is there a conflict of interest there? Yes, there is. Why? Because Christ don't have nothing to do with the devil, and the devil don't have nothing to do with Christ. You got to be on one side or the other.
Amen.
You got to choose Christ, okay? You can't sit there and say, "Well, I was a lesbian, but now I'm just part lesbian, and and I part Christian, okay? And I give God his part, and I give the devil his part.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't tell you to give the devil a part. He said, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. He's talking about taxes and things like that. He didn't tell you to give the devil his due. did Jesus tell you to give the devil his due? No, he didn't. Let me try to finish this off for you, brother. I'm on the fifth verse. Do we think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Thank you, Jesus. Now, this spirit of God that's in you, if the spirit of God, hallelujah, is the spirit of, you know, John said God is jealous for his people, okay? Thank you, Jesus. If that spirit of God is about, if that spirit of God is supposed to be, you're supposed to be jealous for the Lord, and you're supposed to only hold to him. Thank you, Jesus. But he said he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we come into the thing that I want you to know, brothers, that in order for you to understand the thing that we're about to tell you, you have to humble yourselves, okay, in the grace of God. Wherefore, because God's going to resist you if you're proud, okay? And you're not going to, because you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, I know that ain't of God. That's going to be the first thing you say. I know that ain't of God. That's another gospel. That's what you're going to say. But you don't even know what the whole scriptures. We don't even know the whole scripture of God, okay? We be thinking we know, you don't even understand the whole Bible. But we can fix our mouth to say, I know the whole Bible from cover to cover. Yeah, you think you know the Bible from cover to cover.
Amen.
I got 5,000 hours of study. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got 5,000 hours of prophecy. Prophecy. I'm considered an author. I'm considered the leading knowledgeable doctor of prophecy. Nobody knows more about prophecy than I do. I'm the man.
Yeah.
I know more prophecy than Jesus. I know more prophecy than Jesus knew. People might say that kind of thing, okay? Well,
yeah.
I know one person that said that. Do you know one person that said that they could straighten out Jesus and they could straighten out the apostles? That was Mary Baker Eddy.
She said,
I could straighten out. I know more than I know where they went wrong. Oh man, see that pride. But see, we have to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. I want you to humble yourselves in the spirit and power of Christ, okay? And I'm not telling you to seek. I'm not telling you to look for no warm for God to warm your heart. Okay, to put a warm feeling down in your heart, you know, to make you feel peaceful, okay? That's up to God what kind of sign he want to give you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm telling you one thing, this one truth, ask God, is this his truth? Is this his word? Thing that we saying to you true? Could it be possibly true? Thank you, Jesus. Don't make up your mind just because you heard something or because you heard something from past knowledge, okay? That can't be true. Blah, 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 blah. And then you start running your mouth and you think you know something, and then you end up entrapping yourself in your own words, okay? And your words become like a pit to you. Your words become like a jail to you. Your words become like a covenant that you've made. I don't believe.
Amen.
And you can get to that place where you say, I don't believe God. I don't believe nothing but what, like this man said, I don't believe in. He doesn't believe that God works the same way anymore. It was a man on YouTube talking, I don't believe that God heals like that. God don't do that no more. God don't talk like that no more. God don't speak to people like that. God don't speak to people. God don't have conversations with people. No, God don't do that. That ain't God. And he likened God to like a chatty cat doll, okay? And God just chat. God don't talk all the day long. No, he don't.
Yeah.
But he's saying God ain't talking at all. That the only way God talks to you is out of his scriptures. Out of the scripture. That's how he talked to you, out of the scripture. That's one way God talked to you. But that ain't the only way that God talked to you. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes we miss it because we are so full of pride. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to get off of here, brother. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I went over, brother. I just had to lay that okay, because the Lord told me to lay that groundwork, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And from there, we're going to go on. We're going to go on in the spirit of prayer. We're going to go in the spirit of Christ, okay? And we're going to boldly, like Paul, when he was preaching this gospel, he preached it boldly, okay? And the apostles preached it boldly, even though nobody believed it. People didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe it.
Amen. Amen.
And the whole world was fighting against them. The Rome was fighting against them. The Jewish people was fighting against them. Man, they had battles in every way. Okay, they was really being tried because every time God does something new, people resist it. Every time God does something that they ain't heard of before, God ain't doing that. They set their heart and mind against God. And they don't understand, once you do that, you close the door in God's face. You told God, hey, you can't do that unless I tell you you can do that. So I'm going to hand it over back to my brother. Take it away, brother, in the name of Jesus.
Well, praise be to God. Well, people, we are, as my brother saying, we are laying down this groundwork, and the groundwork being laid down. Now, I agree with my brother here that we have to lay the proper groundwork to introduce to you this sign that God has given of the restoration. As my brother says, very important. We pray that you would ask God concerning this. We pray that as the scriptures we've given you, that even the scriptures that is scriptures of groundwork, that you will write it down. My brother came to you from Amos and let you know that, you know, God is speaking and has spoken, and he has more of his word, not just the Bible. Now, I know that's something tough for you, for some of you, to swallow. And I understand that because you grew up just knowing the Bible. And, hey, I grew up just knowing the Bible, okay? I imagine most of us grew up just knowing the Bible. And when you're used to one thing after so many years, when someone come and tell you, say, hey, this is another thing that be added to it, and we want you to understand this sign that God has given, it's not a sign that takes away from you believing the Bible. Let's keep that in mind. Because some of you will hear this and you'll go, oh, they don't believe in the Bible no more. No, we're not saying that. Okay? We're not saying that. So that's why we pray that you will really listen to what we're saying and pay close attention. Jot the scriptures down. Because we got part two coming Saturday, And part two is not going to cover all of it. I'm just going to let you know because we have a short broadcast. But you'll hear us as we get into it. You'll hear us even laying even some more groundwork, you know, that you may understand, okay? Because as we present this, we want you to see that, first of all, this is something that is of God. And some of you may be kind of hard for you to even imagine God speaking anywhere else besides the Bible. Now, this is not to say that every book that somebody come with is of God. Now, it's not saying that either. And hopefully, before this series completely go over, we will introduce to you some steps whether you can tell when something is God or not. Okay? So we're not telling you on the other end that, hey, God has another book besides the Bible, and you walking out on the street and somebody run up to you and say, hey, this is God, and show you a funny-looking book and say, yeah, and God speaks beside the Bible. You go, oh, them brothers on the broadcast said that. I believe it. And you following that book, and next thing you know, you find yourself being tossed to and fro in every room in your house. Well, you know that ain't God, okay?
Amen.
So we're not saying that, but we're going to, like I said, as we go on this series, this just was part one tonight. As we go on this series, I mean, this is not a series we're going to be flying through and rushing through. We're going to go at a gradual pace, but we want you to understand, okay? So having said that, I'm going to let my brother offer up a closing prayer. Take it away, brother.
Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you aid the people, Lord God, that you give the people, Lord God, that you assist them, Lord Jesus, Lord God, in their, Lord God, search, Lord Jesus, of these things, Lord God, that we are about to show them, Lord God, that you bless them, Lord God, to humble themselves, Lord God, that you bless them, Lord God, to listen, that you bless them, Lord God, with the spirit of Christ, Lord Jesus, the spirit of humility in the name of the Lamb, Lord Jesus, that you will lead them, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, not by their own spirit, not by the spirit of this world, not by the spirit of the devil, but lead them, Lord God, by your spirit of truth. Lord God, you are the spirit of truth. Your word is truth, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thy word is truth. So, Lord God, in this spirit of truth, O Lord God, we come, Lord God, because you have commanded us, Lord God, to reveal these things. You have commanded us, Lord God, to show these things, Lord God. You have commanded us, Lord God, hallelujah, that we should walk in these things, Lord God. We cannot hide them, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Because these are your words, Lord God. So, Lord God, bless them, Lord God, and Lord God, and bring them back again, Lord God, to hear your word, Lord God. Lord Jesus, in your mighty name. And give them, Lord God, a spirit, O Lord God, of searching, seeking, knocking, asking, O Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name, O Lord God. And we bless, Lord God, them, Lord Jesus, Lord God, with our prayers, O Lord God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they may be successful, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to the Lamb. And in Jesus Christ's name, we pray for all these things, and we say amen. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Amen.
Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, Heart to Heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Saturday, 6 to 6:30, me and my brother will be back with part two of the sign of the restoration, restitution, as well as 7 o'clock Saturday night, another heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaid. So therefore, as for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hine. We love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, brother.
God bless you, brother.